Up her balloon went. Up, 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 and aha! There was a sudden twang that rang through the morning light like the shot heard round the world. She glanced over her right shoulder where shockingly, nay, even horrifically, Miss Beatrice Plummetful's daisy-colored balloon was deflating. With rapt horror, Gwyntilda procured her spyglass from her oblong pockets and gave Plummetful a peek. Her mouth gaped with delicious terror as she spied the device by which Miss Plummetful's doom was surely sealed, an arrow nestled kindly in the folds of the retiree's massive balloon. Twang and twang and twang again. The air filled with hisses as if 10,000 hissing cockroaches started hissing at once. The balloons, she rasped. They're falling. It's a hot air balloon massacre. But where were the bolts coming from? And who was the massacrer? Twang! And then the sound she dreaded most. A cockroachian hiss from directly above. She looked up, her eyes wide with, shoot.
I need the still beating hearts of orphans, not the still beating hearts of children in the foster care system. That completely Hey, what are you doing at my typewriter?
Well, 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 it seems you'll find yourself in my dungeon.
This is my dungeon.
My dungeon.
Mine! You're my prisoner who...
You're probably wondering how you can escape. It's easy. Read one of my evil stories.
Yeah! I'm the one with evil stories, not you. You're a comedian, for God's sakes. But it is somewhat fortuitous you're here. I've got a new story I'm just dying to hear. Read it, and I might allow you to write one of your very own.
Neato.
An evil writer would never say neato. Let me pull up my evil chair. Don't be surprised if this story tickles your horror bone, for we all know about final girls. But what if you find yourself as the only final girl in the whole wide world?
Only girl. Samantha's 1992 Mitsubishi was the color of a rusted penny, with the roar of a sickly lion. It had left her abandoned in many inconvenient places over the years. And as she sputtered onto the long, empty, rural dirt road surrounded by overgrown corn stalks, she prayed it wouldn't strand her here. Her hopes were dashed as her car clamored to a stop. Samantha sighed as she got out. A giant piece of rust, shaped like the Titanic, fell from the door as she slammed it shut. It was hot out here. All she could hear were cicadas. Her white sneakers became instantly dirty as she stepped onto the gravel road that hadn't seen tire tracks in what looked like a millennia. Samantha was wearing her best crop top and jean shorts combo, complete with a sparkly belt. She was on her way to visit her boyfriend, Tony, at college. But she wouldn't be seeing him tonight after all. Not if she couldn't get her car started again. Smoke rose from the Mitsubishi's hood like raisins rising to the surface of a rum glass. Samantha opened the hood and a hot cloud of smoke fluffed into her eyes, blinding her. The Mitsubishi had never before looked this bad. Samantha tried her phone, lifting it to the sky, but no bars lit up the screen. Great, she groaned, looking up at the quickly dipping sun. She wouldn't have much time before it was dark, and she had no idea where she was. Her GPS had gone out a ways back. She hadn't passed anyone else in what seemed like ages, and now she heard no cars, no music, nor any signs of life at all, except for the cicadas, which weren't known for their human assisting skills. She tried starting the car once more, but it didn't so much as sputter. If she wanted to get off this road before night fell, she had to start walking. Samantha grabbed her purse, which was shaped like a candied apple, and started walking down the side of the road, all the while checking her phone to see if any bars would show themselves. They never did. So, Samantha walked along the dusty road, looking for somewhere she could call for help. Samantha had walked for nearly an hour. The sun was now kissing the treetops. After miles of trees and nothingness, she came to an old, decrepit house. It was 3 stories tall and as old as a first-run Edgar Allan Poe poem, with wooden siding falling off in strips and boarded-up windows. There was a little old pickup truck in the driveway. A shiver twisted down Samantha's spine like a rhythmic gymnast's ribbon. She looked around, squinting up the road to see if there was another option, but as far as she could see, this was it. And if this person had a truck, they might also have a phone. She took a deep breath and walked slowly up the weed-covered path to the front door. "Hello?" she asked. "Is anybody home?" She stood on her tiptoes, trying to see through the small, dirty, stained glass window in the door. But she couldn't see anything. It was dark inside, save for a dull lamp casting pockmarks on the wall. "Do you have a phone I could use?" Samantha asked, stepping ever so closer to the door. Normally she wouldn't do this. Samantha's parents had taught her to never go to strangers' homes alone, and she considered herself a young woman of higher intelligence, but she had no other choice. Suddenly, the door creaked open. Samantha jumped back with a gasp. She wanted to run. Her heart was nearly leaping out of her thoracic cavity, but she looked around her. The sun was almost set. There was no one else around. She was in trouble any way you sliced it. So she walked toward the open front door. "Hi, my car broke down and I was wondering..." Samantha began, careful not to walk over the threshold into the house. From her place in the doorway, she saw that the room was covered ceiling to floor in dust. The furniture was swathed in butter yellow sheets, as if they were once white, and now stained with urine, if the odor was any indication. Samantha covered her mouth and nose and spoke again.
"Do you have a phone? I just need to make one call," she said.
Then she heard it. A buzzing, building sound like a dozen chainsaws coming toward her. Moments later, a man came into view with just one chainsaw. He had wild, disgusting hair and a mask made of snakeskin pulled over his face with only tiny pencil-sized holes for eyes. He held a chainsaw above his head like it was a prized trophy. Samantha screamed and backed away from the doorway, and the snakeskin man revved up the chainsaw again. It sputtered as he strode toward her. Samantha tried to run, but dim as the evening was, she couldn't see where she was going. She turned around and promptly tripped, falling onto the grassy path like a heap of potatoes. The snakeskin man walked out of the house and right toward her, revving the chainsaw all the while. He was so close to Samantha, she could smell him. His odor radiated around her like dead, radioactive rats. The snakeskin man reached the chainsaw out towards Samantha and she shrieked. She could feel the heat of it on the back of her neck. She scurried away, but not before the snakeskin man chopped off a length of her silky blonde hair. She screamed again and army crawled as fast as she could. The snakeskin man was distracted. He was smelling her cut-off hair, inhaling it with the eagerness of a young baker smelling his first loaf of bread fresh out of the oven. Samantha got to her feet and began to run, but the snakeskin man ran after her. She had to think of a way out of this. She didn't know where this rural dirt road would lead her, but she had to get away from this place, from this monster. She got into the road and the snakeskin man revved his chainsaw, stalking her. She had to distract him. Thinking fast, Samantha threw her candy apple purse in the air and straight at the snakeskin man. In the darkening night and through the pinhole eye pricks, he couldn't see what was coming at him. He caught the purse on the blade of the chainsaw and sliced the pleather apple right in half. He stared at it, confused. Samantha ran into the woods, into the thick cover of trees, and she didn't stop until she was far, far away. The evergreen forest brought Samantha to an old summer camp, which looked markedly abandoned. She had run for miles. It was pitch dark now, darker than a blackberry in a closed refrigerator. She didn't hear the snakeskin man or his chainsaw behind her, so she took a second to squat at the tree line and breathe. She hadn't told anyone where she was going. Her trip to Tony's dormitory was going to be a surprise. She and her roommate didn't get along well, and Her roommate was gone most nights partying with the local Canadian frat guy in ports anyway. She probably wouldn't even notice Samantha had never come home. And Samantha's parents had never approved of her relationship with Tony, so she never told them when she was visiting him. How will anyone find me out here? Samantha wondered aloud, but just slightly so, under her breath, so no one would hear. All she needed was a phone, and she could have Tony come pick her up. But she'd nearly been chopped into pieces the last time she tried to find access to a phone, so she had to be careful. Once she could breathe again, she wiped the thickets of pine needles from her clothes, and the layers of sweat from her forehead, and the streaks of dripping black mascara lines from her cheeks, and she walked forward into the summer camp. She got barely four steps when she heard the unmistakable sound of a weed whacker. Vroom! The weed whacker called into the otherwise silent night.
Buzz!
Vroom! Brrr! There must be someone here, Samantha said excitedly. Maybe it's the groundskeeper. She walked toward the sound, but she didn't see the groundskeeper. In fact, she didn't see anybody. But still, the weed whacker bellowed on, so on she walked. She found the door to an old camper's cabin unlocked, so she went inside, but there was nary a phone, computer, or fax machine in sight. She checked a second cabin. There, she found some old brand-name gummy candy, but nothing else. Hungry as she was from all this traveling and running for her life, she opened the gummy candies and popped them all into her mouth in one solid dump. She walked back outside to do more phone hunting. Maybe if she got to the counselor's office, she would find one. But she was interrupted by the weed whacker, floating in mid-air right in front of her. She was so confused, she only squinted at it for a moment before realizing there was a person standing behind it, holding it. It was a short man wearing an old football helmet, complete with a face mask. The football helmet-wearing man gave the weed whacker some gas and launched it towards Samantha. She ducked just in time, right as the weed whacker left the man's hands and flew over her head, cutting off another piece of her satin flaxen hair. What the fuck? Samantha shouted, running away, leaving her fallen hair on the grass. She ran quickly, but the masked man sprinted to get the weed whacker, then launched it at her with all his surprising force. It slammed into Samantha's leg. She screamed and fell to the ground. The most crimson of liquids, that being blood, spurted from the gash in her milky white skin. The masked man lumbered toward her. Samantha screamed in pain and tried to staunch the blood with her hands, but the blood dripped down her arms like melting ice cream on a hot summer's day. Shit, Samantha said. I'm not gonna die from a weed whacker. She could imagine it. The obituary in her hometown newspaper. Promising young accounting student / former valedictorian / basketball star Samantha Fishman dies in terrible gardening tool accident. No, that would not be her fate. She saw the man smile behind his mask. He retrieved his lawn care weapon, revved it up, and lurched toward her again. But this time, Samantha tugged her sequin belt from around her waist and whipped it toward the man, lassoing the weed whacker and yanking it out of his hands. She had it now. The power was hers. Samantha didn't care that blood was pouring out of her like water from a faucet. She turned on the masked man, held the weed whacker up like a torch, and slammed it down onto his shoulder. The masked man screamed shortly before he fell to the ground, his scarlet blood mixing with Samantha's. Samantha didn't stick around to see the results. She threw the weed whacker to the ground and turned to run away, but the weed whacker, still running, sputtered on the grass, bouncing like a ball. It sputtered itself around until its blade was facing Samantha and then cut into her ankle, its teeth gouging deep and dangerous, cutting off the appendage. She screamed and fell to the ground once again. The masked man slowly rose. "Not today, bastard!" Samantha shouted. She took off her crop top, wrapped it around her severed ankle, which was now squirting blood all over the place like a macabre garden sprinkler, and crawled like a bear with three limbs away from the wounded weed whacker murderer. Samantha lost the football-masked man somewhere near the canoe stands. She'd heard him fall to the ground in a heap. Now bloodless, shirtless, and a great deal hairless, Samantha was cold and feeling faint. She had gotten far enough away from the camp. She had run through more pine trees to another dirt country highway. Now, she saw an old diner on the side of the road. "Thank God," she said, her stomach rumbling upon glimpsing the beautiful sight. A flash of civilization. Of all things, a diner had to have a phone, for how else would they take to-go orders? Samantha limped toward it, dragging her dirty, bloody, bandaged leg behind her. She didn't know it, as she didn't have a mirror, but Samantha was a terrifying sight to behold. She looked like she'd gotten into a fight with multiple serial killers and lived to tell about it, which, of course, she had. She crossed the empty rural road, leaving a trail of blood behind her. The cicadas stopped chirping. Nearby, deer stopped to stare, but Samantha paid them no heed. She needed food. She needed a phone. She only wanted to get out of this godforsaken place and back home. Or maybe to a hospital, she grumbled, the pain in her twice-sliced leg rearing its ugly head. The diner was empty. Not a car in the driveway, not a person in sight. "Please don't be closed," she whispered over and over like a prayer. But as she got closer, she saw that the lights were on and the place smelled like pancakes, so she figured it was still operational. A bell above the door jingled as she entered. "Hello," she began. "I'm looking for a phone and some food." "Ah!" she gasped as a terrible pain sliced through her abdomen. She looked down to find a metal chef's spatula stuck straight through her, from her back to her front. "What the fuck?" she shouted. She seemed to be shouting those three words too often today. She staggered away from the door and turned around to see who had stabbed her. It was a towering man in a clown mask, and he was smelling a chunk of her blonde hair she hadn't even felt him rip off. How had she not seen him when she'd come inside? "You stabbed me, you dick!" she shouted, staring down at the spatula in her stomach, in shock. The clown just stared at her with a terrifying, waxy smile. "Is every man around here a murderer?" she shouted. Adrenaline had kept her conscious, kept her on her foot, kept her alive. But now it evaporated and she slumped into a booth, blood tracking down the table like a chalk line. The clown just smiled. She could feel the chef's spatula's handle hit the hard orange plastic of the booth as her back lied against it. She groaned in pain. She couldn't remove the spatula or she'd surely bleed out like a burst bloody fire hydrant. But what could she do? What choice did she have? She looked around for any kind of weapon and on the table saw two laminated menus and two sets of rolled silverware. The clown walked toward her. Samantha pulled the menus and silverware down to her seat, pulling out the fork and tucking it into her hand like a magician preparing a trick. "Why don't you take off your mask, motherfucker?" Samantha yelled, or tried to yell. Her voice only came out in a weak, airy whimper. The clown reached up and took off his mask, and beneath that mask was, inexplicably, an entire football helmet and face mask. Samantha rubbed her eyes. They must be playing tricks on her in this near-death state. This looked just like the guy from the summer camp. "Take that one off too," Samantha said. The football-masked man smiled. Then he took off his football helmet, and beneath it was a mask made of snakeskin. Snakeskin man was staring right at her. How could this be? How was it possible? How had they gotten here so fast? Samantha had so many questions, but the most burning of all was, how can I survive this? She had a serious college boyfriend to reunite with, parents to hug, a roommate she hated to ignore. The snakeskin man plodded toward her. He reached toward the spatula as if he wanted to pull the weapon out the other side of her body, but Samantha kicked him away with her good leg. "No!" she shouted. She nailed him right in the kneecap and he flew backwards into the counter. Samantha got up to a sitting position, wincing through the immense pain, and threw the fork right at him. It bounced off his face. He barely blinked. Then She took a laminated menu and swiped it across his throat, paper cutting him in a deep laceration. The snakeskin slash football mask slash clown man screamed and grabbed for his throat, where blood was now cascading down like a crimson waterfall. Samantha had no idea how a menu could cut that deep, but she didn't care. In the second the slasher was distracted, she slowly made her way toward the diner door. The bell rang again as she pulled herself out the door, across the parking lot, and back toward the dirt road. Then she heard the most amazing sound, like honey to a bee's ears. A car was coming down the road toward her. She shuffled as quickly as she could into the middle of the road, waving her arms like a deranged helicopter propeller. But the car didn't slow down. In fact, it sped up. "No!" Samantha shouted. "Please, please help me!" She didn't have time to move. Samantha could see the driver behind the wheel. He had a fisherman's hat and slicker jacket, and two metal hooks where his hands should be. "Stop!" she yelled. But her yells were cut off as the car slammed into her, pushing her and her stomach spatula into the ground. The car sped off, leaving Samantha on the deserted dirt road, bloody, broken, and most assuredly dead. Samantha awoke in the middle of the road. It was sunrise now. Red and blue blinked neatly across the early morning sky. The sight was so beautiful to behold, she thought she might be dead and in the afterlife. But then she realized it wasn't the sky. It was police lights. She tried to get to her feet. More people meant more problems, but someone rushed over to her. "Whoa, whoa, whoa, young lady, be careful," an officer of the law said. He had a bushy mustache and aviators on, even though the sun was barely up. He tried to stop Samantha, but she pushed far away from him. "No, get away from me," she shouted. "Calm down, sweetheart," said the officer of the law. "I found you here, bloody and broken. You need an ambulance, and lucky for you, it's on its way." "Take off your mask," Samantha shouted. She was frantic. She knew this had to be the slasher again, the one who had tried to kill her thrice. No, four times now. But the officer of the law just laughed. "I'm not wearing a mask," he said. "Take it off," Samantha screamed again. She lunged toward him like a rabid iguana and dug her nails into the side of his face, between the jawline and neck. The officer's face went slack with shock as she tried to pull, but it was just skin. Samantha could see that now. "I'm sorry," she said quietly, thinking about how her small-town newspaper might now add "cop harasser" to her obituary. "It's all right, honey. You've been through a lot," the officer of the law said. "But here comes safety." The ambulance sped toward them, lights and sirens glaring and blaring through the morning air. Three EMTs got out and picked Samantha up. She was still frightened. She shouted at them, thrashing all the while. "She's in shock," one EMT said. They put her in the back of the ambulance and draped a blanket over her shoulders. As they began patching and wiping and sewing, an old male EMT looked her straight in the eyes. His name tag read Jessup. "You're the only girl to survive," Jessup said. "The only girl." What is this place?" Samantha asked, horrified, realizing it wasn't just a crazy night. These deadly men weren't just out to get her. They must have been out to get every girl. But Jessup the EMT said no more. "Breathe," another EMT said, throwing an oxygen mask over Samantha's face. She tried to breathe in the fresh oxygen as she looked out into the woods. She thought of Tony and how he smelled like cedar and axe. Of the Canadian frat bros her roommate sometimes brought home, who always saved some fresh maple syrup for Samantha. There were good things in life, good things to come. But her eyes started to glaze over. The trees blurred, and suddenly they all had weapons. The treetops were masks, clown, football, snakeskin, fisherman. The branches were hook, spatula, chainsaw, and weed whacker. The EMTs closed the ambulance door, trapping Samantha inside. As the ambulance drove away, Samantha looked out the back window, the small reflective square framing a sign, "Now leaving Slasher Springs." Despite the oxygen, Samantha felt lightheaded. Slasher Springs? This place was designed for her, a young woman alone with a broken-down car. She wondered how they had lured her here. How many before her had lost their lives to spatulas, chainsaws, weed whackers, unwieldy male drivers, and how many other monsters who were lurking in these springs? Weak and dizzy, the life-saving vehicle spinning around her like a lottery wheel, Samantha fell off the stretcher and onto the floor. The monstrous, masked faces swam above her, replacing the previously normal faces of the EMTs. Jessup's words swam in her head. Only girl. Only girl. Only girl.
Well, what did you make of my evil story?
That being terror. Terror most foul. The Black Death? Ted Bundy? Bah! Child's play compared to the absolute horror that now coursed through her womanly veins like sea Vikings set off
horror
to raid
madness.
The supple coasts of old England. But something reared before her, huge and the color of the most crimson.
Sad, isn't it, Steve?
That being blood, an evil balloon that wouldn't be out of
place
in a nightmare
born. I've seen it before once at a horror con in Miami.
Stephen King. And there in a basket, drenched with blood, stood the killer. A hulking freak of
best
nature leave her and a name brand children's
There's nothing anyone can do
man.
For her now.
Holding a cross
Perhaps
bow, covered in spikes
she'll
and
wear
viscera.
Herself out. This episode was performed by Katie Harbin and Lord Serpent. It was edited by Stacey Milbourne and Lord Serpent. Only Girl was written by Stacey Milbourne and Lord Serpent. It was produced by Stacey Milbourne, Michael Morgan, Charles Brock, and Lord Serpent. Michael Morgan and Lord Serpent were the audio engineers. The music was composed by Charles Brock and Lord Serpent. Terror in next week for even more tunes of horrific horror. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Lord Serpent's Library and check out my homepage at rss.com/podcasts/Lord Serpent's Library.